listening to the Daily Roundup. Here is part of the Reality Steve podcast. I am your host, Reality Steve. Thank you all for tuning in on this Thursday edition of the podcast. We're going to talk about what's coming up in a couple hours with podcast number 385. Going to give you a little bit more details in regards to the comedy date on Gen Season out in Australia. That happened on Tuesday. Joey's finale ratings. I don't know why this story broke yesterday. I guess, you know, his finale aired last Monday, but the story was posted yesterday. His finale ratings, I'll tell you how good those went. Survivor last night, a good episode. I feel like the show kind of kicking into gear right now. And guess who's back in the news? Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. Where are they going to be coming up? We'll get to all that momentarily. So let's start with this. Podcast number 385 coming up in a couple hours. It's going to be the second time he's been on, and it is with Benedict Polizzi. You know who Benedict is. He was on seasons 2 and 3 of F-Boy Island, and he is now one of the leads of Lovers and Liars, which is basically F-Girl Island. Lovers and Liars actually showed its first episode on Monday night. It's on the CW website if you want to go watch it, but next Thursday is technically the premiere. They're going to replay the first episode on the CW, and then it's going to be on every Thursday. If you haven't watched the first episode, we don't go into any spoilers in regards to, you know, who got eliminated and their names or anything like that, but we do talk a few things about what happened in the first episode, but I wouldn't call them spoiler-related at all. We go over just the fact that this is Benedict's third time being on the show, the fact that when F-Boy Island 3 ended, when he got dumped by Katie Thurston, how long it took him to accept the role to be on Lovers and Liars, because we know they filmed back-to-back this summer, and just a lot of good stuff from Benedict. He's a stand-up comedian, so he's a really easy guy to talk to. He's very funny, and we just kind of break down his first two seasons on the show, because the last time he was on the podcast was right after he had been dumped on season 2 of F-Boy Island when Louise dumped him. So we talk about that. We kind of pick up from there, and then we talk about what brought you to Katie's season, and then they come to you again a third time. You know, what? Why do you keep doing the show? And then we talk about Lovers and Liars and then get into his stand-up career a little bit. But a very fun conversation with Benedict Polizzi. That's coming up in a couple hours on your weekly podcast. So you know that Jen's season of The Bachelorette is currently filming in Australia. I had told you there was a comedy date on Tuesday, and I told you there was a comedian that performed, but it's a local Australian comedian because they had posted it on their Instagram page. Well, I got some more information in regards to the comedy date on Tuesday. It was tied into the Melbourne International Comedy Festival, which is actually going on right now. Did I say Melbourne again? Sorry, Aussies. Aussie. Oi, oi, oi. That's Australia, right? That's what they do. Melbourne International Comedy Festival. It's going on right now. So this was like kind of tied into that, and it was held at the St. Kilda Sports Club. Obviously, I have no idea where that is or what it is. It's more of a pub than it is like a giant venue. But it was, as you would expect, it was a roast. And the guys had to roast each other. And there were 8 of them on the date. And we'll leave it at that for now. I know the 8 names that were in it. And we'll get to those, obviously, as we get further down the line. But considering they were in Australia and it's a lot of alpha males, there were a lot of jokes apparently about people's heights, the size of people's appendages, so to speak. There was a lot of down under jokes made. Hilarious. No, but that's how the date went. And as you know, obviously more stuff gets out. You know, there are a few other things that I heard about the date, including, but there were 8 guys on the date. So we don't know how many made it through night 1 at the mansion, the other mansion, not the one that it's usually filmed at. We don't know how many got cut pre-show, but just kind of know. The only one we know 1,000% that didn't make the show was Jonathan Hess. So they gave us 28 men on the Bachelorette Facebook page the night of Joey's finale. And we know that with 28 men, we know Jonathan didn't make it. So that brings us down to, at the most, 27 that made it the first night. It's very possible Corbin Caldwell didn't make it as well. But the only one I know for sure is Jonathan Hess. He did not get it to the first night. So, you know, my guess is they probably cut two or three. So you're looking at 25 or 26 that started the season, and probably six men, I would guess, got eliminated the first night, maybe seven. We just don't know. And I know everyone needs to know everything right away, but it's just not realistic to know everything right when it happens. I do know who was on the date, like I said, but there's no reason to give that out right now because it's still very, very early, and it allows me to piece some stuff together. So when I do kind of give you everything, it'll be more of a, hey, surprise. I did hear some things about the guys on the date. Who could possibly be the guy that might be the troublemaker, so to speak, or a guy that maybe the other guys don't care for, don't get along, made the most jokes about? We'll get to all that as we move further along in the season. So just know that. I mentioned at the beginning, Bachelor ratings are in for Joey's finale, and it was the biggest audience in over 2 years. And this is after the finale plus 3 days. It drew 6.3 million viewers within 3 days across ABC, Hulu, other digital platforms. 6.3 million viewers is really, really good for this franchise, especially as of late. And it was the most watched episode in terms of multi-platform 3 day viewing since Clayton's finale, which was March 12th of 2022. Viewership from the finale was up 19% from the season premiere. Season premiere brought in 5.3. Finale brings in 6.3. Finale also scored a 1.8 rating in the demo adults 18 to 49 per the 3 day viewing data, up 20% from the 1.5 rating brought in by the debut of his season. After scoring an initial total viewership of 4.1 million viewers, which is same-day viewing, like the overnight viewing numbers, the finale saw a 52.4 uptick following 3 days. The episode also saw a 131% increase in ratings when considering delayed multi-platform viewing after initially scoring a live plus same-day rating of 0.8. So they're doing really well, and this did a lot better. And even though it didn't beat out CBS on Monday night or NBC, but, you know, the one number that I didn't get here and the one number that I think they care about the most, you know, we did get this number that the rating for 18 to 49 demo, which is all adults, men and women, was 1.8. And I can pretty much guarantee you that the women demo probably was a lot better. I mean, the overnight, just in the 18 to 49 demo, the overnight drew the highest rating of the night at 0.8. Second highest was 0.49. So it bettered them by 0.3 of a percentage point. Now, they don't have the breakdown of women 25 to 54, which is their most important demo. But if 18 to 49 won the night, I can guarantee you women 25 to 54 probably blew everyone else away. I wish we would still get those numbers. They don't have it, but the show has it, and that's really all that matters to them. Like, we can sit here and dissect. That's why I don't talk ratings as much anymore, just because everyone is so, like, all they care about is looking at the overnights or even the, you know, the overnight plus 3 days or whatever. But it just, there's so much more that goes into ratings now because so many people consume television shows differently. And it's more about engagement. Is the pop culture world talking about your show? And there were plenty of people talking about the show. Their contestants are going on podcasts. Their final couples on GMA. Their final couples going on all these podcasts. Like, that's relevant. And that's what is, I don't think you can even measure it. Yes, when you sell to advertisers, you have to sell, hey, this is watching our show. This is how many million of people watch our show. But I'm sure they also put their package together of how many hits their social media pages are getting. You have to include that now because it's so important. This podcast is brought to you by Green Chef, the number one meal kit for eating, delivering pre-portioned and prepped delivering pre-portioned and prepped quality whole foods with limited processed ingredients. Build healthy habits the easy way with nutritious recipes from the number one meal kit for clean eating. Green Chef delivers quality whole foods with limited processed ingredients, including low added sugar and sodium, smart options, so you can eat with a clean conscience. You know me, I don't like to cook, but when I do cook, I do like these food services because they make it so easy for me. I'm adult. I don't need any complicated recipes to put a meal together. These are so easy to make by Green Chef. And like I said, the way I have to eat right now, and things have changed for me in the last month after my diagnosis of type 2 diabetes, it's really, really helped. And these meals are perfect. So for you, go to greenchef.com/realitysteve50. Use code realitysteve50 to get 50% off. Plus, you're going to get 20% off your next 2 months. So go to greenchef.com/realitysteve50 and use promo code realitysteve50 to get 50% off, plus 20% off your next 2 months. Green Chef, the number one meal kit for eating well. All right, let's talk about Survivor. If you haven't watched it, I am going to talk about the episode and the spoilers of it. So just keep that in mind. If you don't want to know, you haven't watched the episode yet, fast forward. I'll say what I said at the beginning of the podcast. I feel like we finally started the season of Survivor. The first four episodes were god-awful. We had three of the worst players eliminated, and we had an emergency evacuation. Last week started to get underway, but now that the merge happened, I feel like I kind of know everybody's name now. I'm finally dialed in to all the remaining players' names, but I feel like, okay, gameplay, everybody's scrambling on that first tribal council after the merge. You still have this thing now in the new era of the game where when they merge, it's not like, all right, we're all set to merge and you're all playing a single solo game for immunity. No, they always have that. Okay, we're split you up into two teams. The team that wins is safe. The team that loses has to go to tribal council, and there's usually an odd person out that gets to choose beforehand which team they want to be a part of, and if that team wins, then they're safe as well. And that's exactly what happened with Tiffany. She chose the right team. The team won. So seven people were safe, and six people had to go to tribal. Something that I say every season when it comes to, I guess, the new era, because I don't think they did this before the new era, and if they did, they did it like once a season, is when they come together for the merge, I always forget who went on journeys earlier in the season and aren't meeting somebody for the first time. Yes, they see each other at the challenges, and they pretty much know everybody's names over in the other tribes, but I totally forget. There's probably been, what, three, four journeys already this season? I don't remember a damn thing about who went on a journey, except the most recent one where it was Hunter, Q, and Tim, right? Yeah, because they re-showed that last night because they wanted to show that alliance where each of them had one solid that they were with. And even though Hunter's solid was, crap, I'm forgetting who his solid guy is or the person that he's with. I know Q is solid with Tiffany, and they asked him, and he said Maria was his solid. But then when Q went to Maria, she didn't seem to say, and she even said in a confessional, like, I'm surprised that Tim threw my name out as his number one. He'd be my number three right now. So that's where I'm saying. I feel like the game started last night. It was a good episode. It was entertaining. We had some good one-liners. Q basically told somebody, if they're lying to me, you can basically just cancel Christmas. And the vote ended up being basically between Mariah and Venus. By the way, for those of you who listen to this and obviously watch Survivor and watch The Bachelor, Venus is a doppelganger for Rachel Kirkconnell. Like, right? I'm not way off in this, am I? They look like they could be sisters. So now every time I see Venus, I'm thinking Rachel Croconnell is playing Survivor this year. But yeah, I always forget who goes on Journey. So I'm glad they at least reminded us of the most recent one. But the earlier ones in the season, forget it. I wouldn't be able to tell you who had already met somebody and who had already formed relationships and whatnot. We know that Ganu only had three people left, and they basically controlled the vote last night, and it really wasn't close. There were six votes against Mariah and one vote against Venus. It's probably Mariah knew going into tribal council it was going to be her. That's why she played the shot in the dark, and it did not work for her. She got eliminated, and it wasn't even close. So Mariah's gone, and now she was Sega, right? Almost positive. Yeah, she was Sega. So Sega has finally lost their first member. So if you're breaking it down, I believe Sega's got five left. Nami's got five, and Ganu's got three. So there's no, because there were 13 at the immunity challenge. There's really only 12 left. So Sega must have five left, and Nami has four, and then three from Ganu. It's got to be it, because there were 13 people at Tribal last night. Seven couldn't be voted out, and six could. Okay, makes sense. As I mentioned in the open, believe it or not, when was the last time I talked about Travis and Taylor? At least 2 weeks ago, right? Well, they're in the news because apparently they're going to Coachella. Now, it's not like, you know, when you read the story, honestly, the first thing that popped in my mind was like, wait a second. They're literally just going to be hanging around with the crowd? And I was like, no, obviously, they're going to be escorted around. Nobody's going to get to anywhere near them outside of their close circle of friends. There's no way they are just going to be hanging out. And look, I might sound like old man here and get off my lawn and shit like that, but I'm sorry. I don't even think in my 20s Coachella ever would have appealed to me. I know I've never been to it, and I was living in Southern California at the time. I just have never been a big music festival guy, and every story I hear from Coachella is a horror story. It's blazing hot, there's no shade, and there's barely any water, and it's windy and dusty, and it's just, you just feel disgusting out there. And if, you know, I love going to concerts, but I want my concert in an arena with a roof. I'm sitting out there in a desert where nothing but dirt can blow on me for 8 hours, and I'm parched because I can't get a bottle of water unless I want to pay $15 for it. Yeah. Look, like I said, I'm probably sounding like old man get off my lawn here, but hey, doesn't appeal to me, but apparently appeals to Travis and Taylor. However, like I just said, it's not like they're going to be experiencing like most people experience it. But I can only imagine the circus that is going to be when they walk out somewhere at Coachella. And, you know, maybe they will for at least a little bit, and maybe they'll take photos with people. I don't know. But once again, this puts a why the hell aren't they doing SNL into play. SNL season finale is until May. I know they're booked with hosts this weekend, and Kristen Wiig is hosting this weekend, and then someone else is hosting on the 13th. I can't remember who it is. I read it to you a while back. So they're not having a show on the 20th, but 27th or first week of May, they could do it, and it just doesn't sound like they want. If these two have the time to go to Coachella, certainly they can put a week in at SNL where it would literally be the most watched SNL in the history of that show. And that show's been on, what, 45, 50 years? It would blow out every single SNL, and it wouldn't even be close. I don't know why this isn't happening. Maybe it still is happening. Maybe it's going to happen. No, we already talked about it. She's got to go back on her tour like first week of May. So, yeah, they're done. They're not doing it. And I don't understand it. I don't understand. Maybe they were never even contacted. Maybe they were in negotiations and they couldn't work something out. I don't know. But I think it's a very, very big missed opportunity for SNL. And finally, this story that I didn't tease in the open because I found it as I was recording this is that, and this isn't a major story, but it's a headline story on usweekly.com or usmagazine.com. And that is Molly Ringwald can pinpoint the exact moment she conceived her daughter. Her daughter's name is Mathilda, and she was conceived in the dressing room at Studio 54, right at the end of my run playing Sally Bowles in Cabaret in 2003. So Mathilda is 20 years old now. And Ringwald said, conceiving children took longer than expected for her. I was 36 when Mathilda was born. And Mathilda is now 20 with husband Panio Giannopoulos. They're also parents to fraternal twins, Adele and Roman. I just thought about this and I'm just like, did I really need to know that Claire from Breakfast Club, Samantha Baker from 16 Candles, and Andy from Pretty in Pink were my theme song for the podcast, two podcasts come from, was conceiving children at Studio 54? Like, it's funny when you think back to all three of those movies that made Molly Ringwald a household name in the mid-80s. She was basically a prude in all three movies. You know, she was like the innocent one, and everyone else around her was fornicating. And, you know, Claire was teased heavily by Bender in Breakfast Club. Samantha Baker, the whole movie was about her turning 16 and the fact that she answered a questionnaire on a piece of paper that asked her if she'd ever did it, and she said no. And then if she wanted to, who would it be with? And she said Jake Ryan, and she, you know how the movie went. But virgin in that movie. And then in Pretty in Pink, same deal. You know, she was the nerd. She was like hung out with the not cool crowd. And if you ever get a chance, I suggest you read, I think it was a New York Times article that she did, where she talked about now, I think it happened a year or two ago where she did this interview, and she talked about how she had a very hard time coming to grips with some of the material in those movies, and does she show them to her daughter? A very, very powerful, I think she wrote it herself, and it was published in the New York Times, but it was very interesting about how she had this love-hate relationship with John Hughes, because if you remember those movies, none of those movies could be made today. In the way the humor was done, some of the scenes in that movie. I mean, it was basically, you know, drugging women and having sex with them for, you know, in some of the movies. It's just, they could never be done today. And she was, you know, those movies made her a household name in the 80s. And now she has a daughter who obviously is 20 now. She's an adult. She probably understands, okay, it was a movie, Mom, but Molly Ringwald had a really big problem with it years later and really struggled with that being why people knew her. Really good article if you want to go look it up. Anyway, thank you all for listening. Really appreciate it. Follow me on Apple Podcasts. Also, rate and review. But you got to hit play. Doesn't count as a download if it just shows up in your feed in the morning. So you got to hit play. Please do that. I'd really appreciate it. And the Sports Daily will be up in an hour from now. Podcast 385 with Benedict Polizzi will be up in 2 hours. So thank you all for listening. I really appreciate it. And I will talk to you tomorrow. See you.